The Dialogue of St. Catherine of Siena, Part 28. How this devout soul, praising and thanking God, made a prayer for the Holy Church. Then this soul, as if inebriated, tormented, and on fire with love, her heart wounded with great bitterness, turned herself to the supreme and eternal goodness, saying, O eternal God, O light above every other light, from whom issues all light, O fire above every fire, because you are the only fire who burns without consuming, and consume all sin and self-love found in the soul, not afflicting her, but fattening her with insatiable love. And though the soul is filled, she is not sated, but ever desires you. And the more of you she has, the more she seeks, and the more she desires, the more she finds and tastes of you. Supreme and eternal fire, abyss of charity. O supreme and eternal good, who has moved you, infinite God, to illuminate me, your finite creature, with the light of your truth? You, the same fire of love, are the cause, because it is always love which constrained and constrains you to create us in your image and similitude, and to do us mercy, giving immeasurable and infinite graces to your rational creatures. O goodness above all goodness, you alone are he who is supremely good, and nevertheless you gave the Word, your only begotten Son, to converse with us, filthy and filled with darkness. What was the cause of this? Love, because you loved us before we were. O good, O eternal greatness, you made yourself low and small to make man great. On whichever side I turn, I find nothing but the abyss and fire of your charity. And can a wretch like me pay back to you the graces and burning charity that you have shown and show with so much burning love in particular to me, beyond common charity, and the love that you show to all your creatures? No. But you alone, most sweet and amorous Father, are he who will be grateful and thankful for me. That is, that the affection of your charity itself will render you thanks, because I am she who is not. And if I spoke as being anything of myself, I should be lying by my own head, and should be a lying daughter of the devil, who is the father of lies, because you alone are he who is. And my being, and every further grace that you have bestowed upon me, I have from you, who give them to me through love, and not as my due. O sweetest Father, when the human race lay sick through the sin of Adam, you sent it a physician, the sweet and amorous Word, your Son. And now, when I was lying infirm with the sickness of negligence and much ignorance, you, most soothing and sweet physician, eternal God, have given a soothing, sweet, and bitter medicine, that I may be cured and rise from my infirmity. You have soothed me, because with your love and gentleness, you have manifested yourself to me, sweet above all sweetness, and have illuminated the eye of my intellect with the light of most holy faith, with which light, according as it has pleased you to manifest it to me, I have known the excellence of grace which you have given to the human race, administering to it the entire God-man in the mystic body of the Holy Church. And I have known the dignity of your ministers, whom you have appointed to administer you to us. I desired that you would fulfill the promise that you made to me, and you gave much more, more even than I knew how to ask for. Wherefore, I know in truth that the heart of man knows not how to ask or desire as much as you can give. And thus I see that you are he who is the supreme and eternal good, and that we are they who are not. And because you are infinite and we are finite, you give that which your rational creature cannot desire enough, for she cannot desire it in itself, nor in the way in which you can and will satisfy the soul, filling her with things for which she does not ask you. Moreover, I have received light from your greatness and charity, through the love which you have for the whole human race, and in particular for your anointed ones, who ought to be earthly angels in this life. You have shown me the virtue and beatitude of these your anointed ones, who have lived like burning lamps, shining with the pearl of justice in the Holy Church. And by comparison with these, I have better understood the sins of those who live wretchedly. Wherefore, I have conceived a very great sorrow at your offense and the harm done to the whole world. For they do harm to the world, being mirrors of sin when they ought to be mirrors of virtue. And because you have manifested and grieved over their iniquities to me, a wretch who am the cause and instrument of many sins, I am plunged into intolerable grief. You, O inestimable love, have manifested this to me, giving me a sweet and bitter medicine, that I might wholly arise out of the infirmity of my ignorance and negligence, and have recourse to you with anxious and solicitous desire, knowing myself and your goodness and the offenses which are committed against you by all sorts of people, so that I might shed a river of tears drawn from the knowledge of your infinite goodness over my wretched self and over those who are dead in that they live miserably. Wherefore, I do not wish, O eternal Father, ineffable fire of love, that my heart should ever grow weary, or my eyes fail through tears, in desiring your honor and the salvation of souls. But I beg of you, by your grace, that they may be as two streams of water issuing from you, the sea Pacific. Thanks. Thanks to you, O Father, for having granted me that which I asked you, and that which I neither knew nor asked. For by thus giving me matter for grief, you have invited me to offer before you sweet, loving, and yearning desires, with humble and continual prayer. Now, I beg of you that you will do mercy to the world and to the Holy Church. I pray you to fulfill that which you caused me to ask you. Alas, what a wretched and sorrowful soul is mine, the cause of all these evils! Do not put off any longer your merciful desires toward the world, but descend and fulfill the desire of your servants. Ah me, you caused them to cry in order to hear their voices. Your truth told us to cry out, and we should be answered, to knock, and it would be opened to us, to beg, and it would be given to us. O eternal Father, your servants do cry out to your mercy. Do you then reply? I know well that mercy is your own attribute, wherefore you cannot destroy it or refuse it to him who asks for it. Your servants knock at the door of your truth, because in the truth of your only begotten Son, they know the ineffable love which you have for man. Wherefore, the fire of your love ought not and cannot refrain from opening to him who knocks with perseverance. Wherefore, open, unlock, and break the hardened hearts of your creatures, not for their sakes who do not knock, but on account of your infinite goodness, and through love of your servants who knock at you for their sakes. grant the prayer of those, Eternal Father, who, as you see, stand at the door of your truth and pray. For what do they pray? For with the blood of this door, your truth, have you washed our iniquities and destroyed the stain of Adam's sin. The blood is ours, for you have made it our bath. Wherefore you cannot deny it to anyone who truly asks for it. Give, then, the fruit of your blood to your creatures. Place in the balance the price of the blood of your Son, so that the infernal devils may not carry off your lambs. You are the good shepherd, who, to fulfill your obedience, laid down his life for your lambs, and made for us a bath of your blood. That blood is what your hungry servants beg of you at this door, begging you through it to do mercy to the world, and to cause your holy church to bloom with the fragrant flowers of good and holy pastors, who by their sweet odor shall extinguish the stench of the putrid flowers of sin. You have said, Eternal Father, that through the love which you have for your rational creatures, and the prayers, and the many virtues and labors of your servants, you would do mercy to the world, and reform the church, and thus give us refreshment. Wherefore, do not delay, but turn the eye of your mercy towards us, for you must first reply to us before we can cry out with the voice of your mercy. Open the door of your inestimable love, which you have given us through the door of your word. I know indeed that you open before we even can knock, for it is with the affection of love which you have given to your servants that they knock and cry to you, seeking your honor and the salvation of souls. Give them, then, the bread of life, that is to say, the fruit of the blood of your only begotten Son, which they ask of you for the praise and glory of my name and the salvation of souls. For more glory and praise will be yours in saving so many creatures than in leaving them obstinate in their hardness of heart. To you, Eternal Father, everything is possible, and even though you have created us without our own help, you will not save us without it. I beg of you to force their wills and dispose them to wish for that for which they do not wish. And this I ask you through your infinite mercy. You have created us from nothing. Now, therefore, that we are in existence, do mercy to us, and remake the vessels which you have created to your image and likeness. Recreate them to grace in your mercy, and the blood of your Son, sweet Christ Jesus. Here ends a treatise of prayer.